Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
There's a couple of exceptions. One exception is typically you are allowed to work with accredited investors or sophisticated investors, typically a very high net worth, high income individuals, even if they're strangers, but they're a little bit few and far between, and everybody's taking a run at those guys. So what does that leave us? Well, that leaves us with this perfect starting point, and that is with your friends, family members, close business associates, people you know and people who know you.
He's the one.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I could do this all day.
Shit, don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella story, out of nowhere.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Capital Hacking begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Capital Hacking. Oh boy, what a nice little show we have for you here. My friends driving around with your hands on the steering wheel. Perhaps you've let go because you're driving a Tesla. For many more friends these days are health conscious and they're treadmilling while they're listening, which are super awesome people. I cannot wait to be one of you super awesome people as I get better at exercising. But I have something we've curated. Through the world of the ether, the internet, we have found someone from British Columbia that we'd love to introduce you today. And it'll be a really nice deep dive where we'll get to know David Dubow at the same time you listeners get to know Dave. And Dave, you know, I looked him up. He's a real estate professional, best-selling author, highly sought-after trainer and consultant. And he's written something that I love the title. It's called The Money Partner Formula, and he trains on that. He's actually even spoken on stage with Robert Kiyosaki and George Foreman. Of course, the great financial mind, George Foreman, right? George Foreman's the boxer, right? Right, Dave?
He's pretty smart. You'd be surprised.
I'm not against Dave George Foreman, but I don't think it. Oh, but he came up with the Foreman Grill. He did do that. And then, of course, Dave's company also at the end, we're going to share with you that he does have a program that he promotes that allows people to learn how to raise money the way he does. So this will be a really interesting show. So, Dave, welcome to the big stage of Capital Hacking. We're glad to have you here.
Hey, Josh. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You know, this show does a lot to make sure everybody who wants to change their life and find financial freedom can have the confidence that they have the power to do that. And we call that human capital, right? So we're here to learn, my brother. What, before we get into the money partner formula, would you mind sharing a little more about your journey and what it's like up there in British Columbia and what you've done over the course of the last few decades?
Oh, thanks very much, Josh. Yeah, so I am a British Columbia boy, Canadian, as you'll probably pick up from the accent after a little while if I say out and about a few times. Kind of grew up around real estate, Josh. It's interesting. I never thought about it that much before, but our home as a kid was actually one unit in a sixplex that my father and my grandfather built. Unfortunately, my parents ended up splitting up, and my mom was a single working mom, and she actually built up a portfolio of over 50 rental units way back in the 70s and 80s as a single mom raising a snot-nosed kid, yours truly. That's before there were cool podcasts like yours and courses and training and gurus and all this kind of stuff. But I never paid much attention to it. So I went through school and graduated and all that kind of stuff and got a really useless degree in psychology way, way back in 1990. And nobody was bashing down my door with job offers. So I decided to go see a bit of the world and I ended up traveling around Latin America for 2.5 years and settled down in a little place called Costa Rica. Don't know if you've heard of that, Josh, but it's kind of a popular spot with Canadians, that's for sure. It's a tropical paradise. And I thought, hey, why don't I try my hand at starting a business down here? What the heck? I was an illegal alien, foreign country, foreign language, had about $1,000 in my name. What could possibly go wrong? But by hook and by crook, I made a go of it, lived down there for 10 years, married a Costa Rican, had a Costa Rican family, and then had a good life down there, good upper middle class lifestyle. And then in 2003, we decided to pull the plug and move back to beautiful British Columbia. Well, back for me, it was a brand new thing for my family. They were Costa Rican, right? So we landed here, but I'd been gone for so long. I didn't have bad credit. I had zero credit. I had been self-employed for so long, I was pretty much unemployable. And even though my business was pretty successful, I hadn't been able to sell it. So I didn't have a lot of cash by the time the smoke cleared and I'd moved my family back here, right? So here we went from living this lovely lifestyle with gardeners and maids and all that kind of cool stuff that you can afford in Latin America to living in a crappy little rental on the wrong side of the tracks and me being unemployed and running out of money quick. So needless to say, my persnickety wife, who is now my ex-wife, wasn't very happy with that scenario. So I was under a lot of pressure to get my you-know-what together. And Josh, you remember back in the day when you'd see those infomercials come on TV, you too can get rich in real estate with little or no money down. You remember any of those?
Robert Allen, absolutely. I bought his book.
There you go. Well, Robert Allen and just a ton more. The one I happened to come across was Ron LeGrand. That's the one that I saw. And I said, little or no money down. Perfect, because that's what I've got. Sent away for the course, got it. Bunch of back then, it was a bunch of binders and maybe even a VHS cassette or two and all this stuff. And I went through it and I'm up here in Canada where this is all American stuff. But you know what? It pretty much all works the same way. It doesn't really matter if it's in the States or the Canada. The lingo might be a little different, but the concepts are all the same. And I did, my first kick of the can was I did 18 deals in 18 months.
Wow.
In and around the small city that I live in, which had about 80,000 people in it at that time, and got pretty good at the whole finding motivated sellers and attracting motivated sellers and doing creative, wonky, low money, no money down type deals, which sounds pretty cool. And some of them were really cool, but a lot of them were just crappy little mobile homes on mobile home parks and stuff like that. And $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 here, $30,000 here, nothing really big or exciting. But that was my first kick in the can of really actively investing in real estate. Probably a lot longer answer than you're looking for there, Josh.
No, that's a beautiful answer. I mean, your mother. Go back to your mother, though. I mean, how did she amass such a great portfolio? What was it that she knew that maybe didn't rub off on the rest of the world? How did she know that?
I don't know how she really... She kind of fell into it, from what I understand. She found a crappy little rental, a rundown piece of crap property that she bought, and she rented it out and actually made a few bucks. So she kind of liked the idea of cash flow and not having to work directly for that money. And then she just kind of kept growing it from there and ended up building a small apartment building at one point. And then unfortunately, the economy tanked in the 80s and the, you know, people can't remember, but the interest rates went up to 19, 20, 21%. Back in those days, and unfortunately, she ended up losing that portfolio. She ended up building up a bit more of one after that, but it was a painful lesson, that's for sure.
One of the things that we love on this show is the idea of bootstrapping it and, you know, really relying on our own individual, you know, we have a teaching we do with our resort business. It's all about the dignity of the person, and we believe everybody has gifts and talents and not everybody has the same as the other person, but if you can harness them, you can really achieve a lot. So what would you say your gifts were that allowed you to get to where you are today with the money partner formula? And then maybe if you could share a little bit about what the money partner formula is and how you built that.
Yeah, good question, Josh. So I guess my gifts would be around marketing. That's something I've been very involved in for a lot of years, even with my business in Costa Rica. It's something I developed a passion for. That's how I was able to take my little language training company from a startup to one of the top three in a very, very crowded space pretty quickly. And then coming back to Canada, getting into real estate investing, what really juiced me up was the whole marketing side of things. So marketing to attract motivated sellers, that was really cool. And I caught the attention of an up-and-coming real estate guru, kind of the Canadian version of Robert Kiyosaki. And he saw what I was doing with real estate, saw my background in marketing, and I did some pretty cool stuff for him. And I ended up going on board with him and his companies for about 6 years as a director of marketing for that and helped him kind of explode his business. Took some time off from real estate investing, then got back in with rent to own, and then eventually moved into the multifamily space. So I guess my unique ability, if you would, when it comes to real estate stuff is applying proven marketing techniques where they aren't often used.
Yeah, you know what? First of all, that's the idea of using a W-2 job or a job that has a paycheck to learn so that you can really transform your wealth later. So it sounds like you were around a ton of real estate momentum for 6 years. You were their marketing person. So you saw them. What were some of the strategies that company was using to help people get into real estate? What were they teaching people?
Well, yeah, I mean, they were really taking a page out of the book. We worked really quite closely with Robert Kiyosaki and the whole Rich Dad organization. So there was a lot of educational kind of marketing, right? So it was all about creating value first, getting people on board with the whole idea of creating financial freedom for themselves, you know, making them understand that they don't necessarily need to become gazillionaires to become financially free. Just like Kiyosaki says, as soon as your passive income exceeds your expenses, then you're really financially free, right? So it was about educating people all about that over and over and over again. And then offering them, the company ended up offering different kinds of investment and business opportunities to allow them, the folks, to take action and do something with what they learned.
Okay. So since you brought that up, that's really interesting. So at the time in the 90s and maybe the early 2000s, Rich Dad, Poor Dad had actually kind of sold his name, I think he did, to Rich Dad Education. Mm-hmm. And they were putting on these big conferences that when you went to them, you buy in to another training program. So you're saying you were one of those, you worked for one of those other training programs?
No, actually wasn't. It was quite different from that. We weren't part of Rich Dad Education. Around that time, Kiyosaki had tried something where he kind of licensed people to go out and do cash flow nights, or he was trying to get this thing set up. It never really flew, but the guy I ended up working with was one of two people that actually made a go of it. And he actually, before I even met him, he did the biggest, I think they had a Guinness World Record for the largest number of people playing cash flow at the same time, with over like 1500 people or something like that, and somewhere playing the game. So that's how we got started. So
it was
kind of different. It had nothing to do with Rich Dad Education. Nothing wrong with that. We weren't, in fact, in a certain way, we were almost competing against those guys because they were putting on seminars all over the place and we were doing seminars all over the place. It was very, very different though.
So, you know, I'm really curious about this because I learn a lot from going to seminars, and so do a lot of people that I work with, and now I'm in a few masterminds and things. So I'm actually pretty curious about the seminar business before we get to money form partner formula. Tell me more about the seminar business, what you took from that time in your life and whether you would ever do it again, or how do you do it?
It was an interesting run, Josh, that's for sure. And we hit it at the right time. And then what I did that was different than most other guys is I looked at, okay, where are all of the big guys going? So the Rich Dad Educations and the Russ Whitney's and all these different, you know, gurus, not just in real estate, but anything. And at least up here in Canada, there were, you know, there was the circuit, right? They'd hit Vancouver, they'd hit Calgary, they'd hit Winnipeg, they'd hit Toronto, perhaps Ottawa, Montreal. That was pretty much it, just the biggest centers. And I kind of stood back and I said, well, first of all, I live in a pretty small city. Nobody ever comes here. What if we tried bringing the seminar circuit to small town, small city, Canada? How would that turn out? So it was really, really interesting. The first marketing I did for this guy, we were working together on something different. I kept bugging him about this idea, and he kept basically shooting me down saying, forget about it, Dave. It's not going to work. Finally, I wore him down. He said, okay, let's do this. He usually worked with a budget, let's say about $30,000 to promote an event in a big city. He said, how about we start with $10,000 in the city of Kamloops. Let's see what you can do with that. Let's see how many people you can get out. So normally in a city like Vancouver with $30,000, they might get 200 or 300 people out to a seminar. With one third the budget in a town one tenth the size, we ended up getting 500 people coming out to that first workshop.
How would you credit your success? Like, what was the technique?
The technique was a starving crowd. You know, there's an old marketing saying, what's the best way, you know, the best competitive advantage you can have if you got a hamburger stand and there's another guy with a hamburger stand? A starving crowd is the best competitive advantage. So the advantage we had was we were going into an untapped market that didn't have any competition at that time. So we can make a much bigger splash with a much bigger, much smaller budget. So that's really, we rode that for 5 or 6 years and just kind of opened up markets all over the place. And then the big guys ended up following suit. And now you see the bigger seminar guys doing a lot of smaller town type events.
I'll tell you, my partner and I, we would love to learn from you on these whole things, but I want to make sure we segue into some of the things you and I talked about before the show. And that is your theory on how the new investor, the person who has listened to Bigger Pockets or maybe Capital Hacking and has realized that the path to different type of life is by doing different things. And if you want some financial freedom, you're going to have to probably own some assets that throw off cash flow and that also appreciate. And this is really the secret of the wealth creation is not necessarily doing more work or working more. Uh-huh. It's by owning things that create value. And really, real estate is the perennial choice for the wealthiest people. So you have a theory, right? You have a theory that the money needed to get into real estate. Well, first of all, the normal person who's listening to a show like this and wants to join the real estate program and wants to become a real estate investor, it's typically their thought is, well, I don't have a lot of money right now. How do I not have money and get into something as expensive as real estate, right? Is that about the beginning point for most entrepreneurs that are trying to figure this out?
Well, actually, most of the clients that we work with and help Josh have already got into the game. And they've got their first deal or two under their belt, whatever that looks like, single family home or BRRRR or flip or whatever. And they've hit the wall. They've run out of cash. They've run out of credit. Now they're stuck. Because quite frankly, I think, and this is my opinion, for you to start raising capital, it's very, very helpful for you to have a little bit of a track record to get started with. Does that make sense, Josh? So
absolutely.
My recommendation to anybody who's wanting to get started in real estate investing but hasn't pulled the plug is, if at all possible, well, first of all, get the education, listen to smart guys like Josh and follow the podcast, but go get some actual training and or coaching or whatever. Immerse yourself so you know what the hell you're going to be doing. If you can self-finance your first deal, make sure you do that, because that's proof of concept. That shows that you've got skin in the game. That gives you a reason why, when you're going to prospective investors and say, why aren't you putting any of your own money into this deal? Because it's all over here in this other deal. I've already got it tied up. That's why I'm bringing this opportunity to you, right? So if you can, self-finance your first deal. If you can't do that, then I highly recommend you put in some sweat equity with somebody else and work on another deal with them. But instead of getting paid for it, you get a little piece of equity in that property, and that gets you started. And again, as proof of concept, you can use that as a case study for moving ahead and starting to raise capital. So I really don't recommend that people listen to a couple of episodes of a podcast, decide they're going to charge in and become a real estate investor.
Great point.
Use other people's money for it. I think that's a resume.
No, great point. Like the first deal, usually it is some money you've saved and perhaps a relative to help you get a down payment. And then you slowly but surely, you're talking about you're at stage two, you have a track record.
Yeah, you don't have to have a big one. Just one deal is enough. One successful deal is enough, because the stat I've heard, for what it's worth, stats and whatnot, is that 95% of the population, Josh, has never purchased an investment property. Their own house doesn't count. I'm talking about an investment property. So if you even have just one successful deal under your belt, you're already ahead of 95% of the non-real estate enthusiasts that you know. So that's all you need. You don't need a ton of deals. But let's assume that you've got that one deal. Then the question is, okay, how do I start using other people's money to grow the portfolio? And that's where this whole money partner formula idea comes in. And these are my recommendations, Josh. There's lots of different ways to get started with raising capital. I just find that for myself and for our clients, this works pretty well. And that is, well, there's five steps. We can go over them big picture, but the first step is to come up with a target group of prospective investors, a target group of people that we're going to laser focus in on, shake that tree and see what falls out. Because a big mistake I see a lot of people making, and I'm sure you've seen this in the past as well, Josh, is when they want to start raising capital, they figure that anybody with a pulse and a checkbook that doesn't bounce could be their investor partner, right? And there's a challenge with that for two reasons. Reason number one is logic. Like if you're just going out on Facebook and spamming everybody and anything, or you're going out and networking up a storm and schmoozing and doing all the stuff we're told we're supposed to do, and you're trying to raise capital from the general public, that's a very, very difficult uphill battle, because for somebody to invest 50 or 100 grand with you, they need to know you, like you, and trust you with their money. You're going out to the general public, especially if you don't have much of a track record, they don't know you, they don't like you, and they sure as heck do not trust you with their money. So you're starting from scratch. And then there's a second pesky problem, and that's called the Securities and Exchange Commission and your local state regulatory authorities as well, which basically, and again, caveat here, you guys, I'm not a lawyer, an accountant, or a securities specialist. I'm a real estate guy and a marketer. I'm just explaining my understanding. It's actually illegal for us as mom and pop real estate investors to go raise capital from the general public unless you've got a license to do so. So a stockbroker, for example, could do it. A mortgage broker could do that. A financial planner can get money from the general public for certain investments. But you and I, we're not allowed to do that unless we got that license, or unless we've jumped through a bunch of hoops and gone through a bunch of regulation type stuff, usually a lot of expense to get an offering memorandum or set certain corporate structures up and get exemptions and all that kind of fun stuff, which is usually beyond what most people want or need if they're going to be doing their next single family house deal, right? So where does that leave us? Well, there's a couple of exceptions. One exception is typically you are allowed to work with accredited investors or sophisticated investors, typically a very high net worth, high income individuals, even if they're strangers, but they're a little bit few and far between and everybody's taking a run at those guys. So what does that leave us? Well, that leaves us with this perfect starting point, and that is with your friends, family members, close business associates, people you know and people who know you. And if we really think back at it, where else would you start? Why would anybody else outside of that group invest with you, especially when you're just getting started? And I found, and I firmly believe, that all of us have somewhere between $1 to $2 million worth of capital available to us just within our sphere of influence. So that's where we want to start, Josh. That make sense?
That's a very interesting point. So in your program, what would be the results usually when someone's done going through your program?
Well, yeah, that's usually our goal. When we don't really have a program, we've got done for you services. So we're a marketing agency. So we work with real estate investors and we help them do that. It's the results are kind of across the board. So for example, one of our most successful clients, we got them started. They were able to raise their first $120,000 within about 5 to 6 weeks. And then kind of snowballed after that. So it was a little bit of a slow start, but then built up quickly after that. Another gentleman that I was just talking with him a couple of weeks ago, within his first 4 weeks, raised $900,000. Wow. Again, following this process, wow, of really dialing it in within his sphere of influence. So it depends a little bit on the size of your list, who's in it, of course, but typically speaking, I believe that unless you've been living under a rock your entire life, there's $1 to $2 million worth of capital available within your sphere.
And, you know, as we're coming closer to the end, I want to make sure we give out the way people can find your book, because I believe, yeah, you wrote the book on this called The Money Partner Formula as well.
I did.
And I also wanted to see if you, before we get to that, would you mind sharing, let's say, the profile of the person who typically benefits from your book? What type of real estate are they doing? What type of size of a portfolio have they built before they call and work with somebody like you?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Josh. No particular style of real estate investing. I mean, we've worked with people who've done anything from flips to multifamilies to syndications to, you know, BRRRs and self-storage facilities, tax liens, tax deeds, notes, you know, you name it, anything to do with real estate investing and using other people's money, the process is about the same. Our sweet spot, we've worked with people all the way from beginners all the way to very advanced capital raisers, syndicators, actually, who are looking for a little bit more of an efficient way to do things. Because again, my goal is, instead of us chasing after investors, let's attract people to us who are already coming to you, booking meetings with you on your calendar. They're already coming in there pre-motivated, pre-educated, and predisposed to investing with you. That wave the magic wand. That's the perfect trifecta right there. So that's what we're trying to do. But a lot of our clients, again, just like we said, they've self-financed their first deal or two. They've hit that wall. They've run out of cash or credit. And it's like, now what? Where do I start? I don't really want to pick up the phone and dial for dollars. I don't want to, I'm kind of shy. I don't feel like networking and schmoozing. What else is out there? And this process tends to work quite well.
I can definitely see why it's very appealing. I'll tell you, we at the group at Accountable Equity have worked hard to develop our network, and it takes time to even build those websites.
Well, and you've got an amazing platform. I mean, you got your podcast, you got all, but it's a lot of work to do that.
It's a labor of love, but you're absolutely right. I mean, so someone who's got great skill and the talent for the work they do in real estate doesn't necessarily mean that they know how to get the capital to do the deals that they're great at.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these different talents in this world, and some of them, and related to real estate, there's several core talents. Like one is the type of construction, let's say, that you are involved in. Maybe you're great at the construction management. How about the type of real estate you do and the way to make money with it, the leasing or the monetizing of it? That's another different skill. And then there's the skill of raising money and nurturing an investor community. And that's a different skill. And so sometimes people can crisscross several. Other times it's challenging to do all of them. So, you know, for us, our strategy is partnership.
Oh, it's impossible. I mean, how many, just think about how many people do you have on your team, Josh, right? To do everything that you do. There's no way you could do it by yourself.
That's
so,
right.
And even the startup mom and pop real estate investor, they've got a realtor they're working with. They got a finance specialist they're working with, a property inspector, legals, accounting, trades, you know, depending on what they're doing, they've got a ton of different people that they're working with. They cannot do it all on their own. And when they try, if they try, they have a very, very small portfolio. That's been my experience anyhow, for sure.
What a pleasure. So would you share how we can reach back out to you?
You know what? I have spared no time or expense putting together a sign for you here, Josh. InvestorAttractionBook.com. I will trade you a PDF copy of my book, The Money Partner Formula, for your name and your email address. That'll get you into my sphere. If you'd like to join us for a full day workshop where we actually spend 8 hours going in depth into this whole process, love to have you there. And that's how we meet new clients, because again, my business really is, we're a marketing agency and we help you implement all the cool stuff that we talk about.
It's great to meet you. I wish you the best of luck, and thanks for teaching me a little. Before the podcast, we talked a little bit about British Columbia, Canada, and it was nice to learn about that area where you're at. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Josh. I look forward to having you on my podcast as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. What's the name of your podcast?
Property Profits Real Estate Podcast.
Property Profits. Well, that'll be fun. Thank you so much.
Take care. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, you made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize.
Awesome. Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media. But by the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary Vee, he's my boy.
But Gary Vee also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life, and thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week, and we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to, and we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes great responsibility.